Hello, I'm Maxi B, and this is Friendship Effort Victory, a podcast about the history and inner workings of Weekly Shonen Jump. Okay, episode 3. We've made it! Yes, and I'll celebrate by actually going off pattern for a bit. First up, thank you to everyone who's been listening and who's been patient with me over this little delay. You can now be numbered by the close to 100, if I'm being cocky about it, and that actually astounds me. This is totally just a little passion project to get all my little thoughts and morsels of knowledge out of my head. So for anyone to actually listen to it just wrinkles my brain something fierce. Second, a big ups to the Weekly Jump Reader's Journal, which provided the lion's share of new listeners last week, and has been a great resource and community for me over the last 5 or 6 years, as you'll see if I ever dig up Stranger Ataru's historical posts from a few years back. You all are great, especially those who've given constructive criticism, which really will affect the podcast a whole bunch around the new year, far willing. Anyway, this week I want to talk to you about the recently concluded Reborn by Akira Amano, a series with a lot of interesting developments in its lifetime, and a series that has a lot to do with demographics. You know, age, gender groups, all that jazz. And that's without even considering that Reborn, it holds the record of the longest series by a woman in Weekly Shonen Jump. A startling record, and one that no one should hold me to in case I'm wrong. See, the one-shot version of Reborn, or one-shots, it's hard to be sure as information on them is a little bit light, but whatever amount of prototype story there was for Reborn ran in various seinen anthologies before Amano moved the concept to Shonen Jump, where it found serialization and great success. For those who aren't up on what seinen is, it's a step up from shonen in age range. See, shonen typically covers teen boys anywhere between 10 and 18, depending on who you ask, and seinen is very much adolescent men going from around 18 or 21 upwards. The mature stuff, you see. Which sounds like a much bigger divide than it is, but when you consider that Weekly Shonen Jump at present runs series where there's topless judo matches and food that makes you feel like you're being sexually abused by tentacles, it's clear that it's really down more to the gore elements or depressing themes, which tend to be the sort of things that run against the pleasant ideals of series filled with friendship, effort, and victory. The lines between age demos are blurred in Weekly Shonen Jump anyway, compared to other shonen magazines like Shonen Sunday, with the paying public ranging anywhere from very young children to very old people. With the only real indication of it still really being a shonen rag is that most of the boys are teenagers still. Of course, that's shot to hell when you learn that about half of Jump's readership are women now, a phenomenon that really started back with series like, with Captain Tsubasa, but I mean it really hit like the massive point with series like Yu Yu Hakusho and Rurouni Kenshin, which I still can't say, and that really kicked into high gear with Prince of Tennis, as a series that is to Fujoshi, that's girls who like to imagine relationships between male characters. It is to them what catnip is to a particularly playful cat. Not to say that that's the only appeal of Jump to female readers. That'd be a huge generalisation of a varied group, but, well, it is the majority pool. And no series has been a better example of this in the last few years than Reborn, which has expertly played with the Bashonen lady teasing to great success, combining it with a sharp sense of visual comedy, high-stakes fighting, and a teeny bit of romance. The only thing that needed to tick every box in the fan appeal checkbook is sports, and when one of your ensemble is boxing crazy, and the opening chapter actually involves sport, you've done it! Reborn ticked every box, and it stands as the great female-created success story of Jump. But what is it? And is it actually any good? Well, that's what the next section's for, isn't it? The year is 2004, and just as the world is preparing to move into 05, a gag manga appears, telling the tale of Tsuneyoshi Sawada, a useless teenager with no skills in anything, nor the confidence to approach the girl of his dreams. Oh, and a hitman baby from Italy who can fire bullets into you that give you the willpower to resolve whatever was in your last thoughts, like wanting to have asked out said girl, or to win a fight and the like. See, the titular Reborn is trapped in the form of a huge noggin toddler, and has been sent to train Tsuna to become the 10th head of the Vongola Mafia family, a role Tsuna wouldn't want to fill under any circumstance, being the useless coward that he is. In the first year, this generally results in Reborn forcing Tsuna to take part in odd tasks or face peculiar foes, most of whom become allies. even if they then manage to disappear and never come back in a lot of cases. The most important of these are those he recruits for his mafia family, like the dynamite mad Gokudera and the laid-back baseball player Yamamoto, two early teammates who have an odd rivalry over who's Suna's right-hand man, a concept you can... well, you can see how that lends itself so well to fanfiction. Two young men fighting over who can be closer to another young man? Maybe these arguments mean they love each other too? Ooh, you can hear the anticipation pooling below the Fujoshi as we speak, can't you? And Amano doesn't really shy away from that, having them slowly bond and build respect for each other. Not that the ever-relaxed Yamamoto ever needed to take time to do that. But by having Gokudera slowly bond, you get a Tsundere thing going on, which, as we all know, is the most powerful of character types. Although it's not like I want to read about it or anything, idiot! Perhaps the strongest of these early characters in the Pretty Boy Stakes is Lambo, a small child dressed as a cow. Hear me out! It starts to sound wrong. See, whenever Lambo's upset, usually after he's failed to assassinate Reborn, he whips out a bazooka that he fires upon himself, that replaces him with his teenage self from 10 years in the future, who is so ridiculously pandering, all dressed in swanky clothes and winking at the reader. And just add to it, he's super weak, so you just want to cuddle him and look after him, and it's so adorable that I now have diabetes. Although, I'm not actually that healthy, so maybe I have diabetes anyway? Anyway, my point is he's super sweet, as any search for the character on Pixiv or Tumblr will inevitably prove. After this first year had passed, and a massive stock of characters had been established, Amano took Reborn on a sudden change of direction, away from episodic comedy, and towards a much more battle-focused tale, by forcing Suna to confront the seriousness of his role in the Mafia, facing off against the psychic criminal Mukuro Rakudo. This story was an odd transition, giving a tale where humour was still present, if not downplayed as it progressed, until it sharply turned into darker territory, with Rakudo shooting himself in the head! Sure, to use his true power, but it's a chilling moment that represents Reborn's jump into the following 7 years of life-or-death battles. A little more thought on demographics. In 2005, when Reborn made this leap into battles, Weekly Shonen Jump had just had one of their long-running comedy series, Bobo, come to a conclusion, leaving their most successful long-runners as 90% action, with only the oddity of Pyutafuku Jaguar really hitting the drum for successful long-running comedy. The new series that were doing well at the time were either Supernatural, The Gray Man, Murio and Roji, Demon Detective, Death Note, or comedic, Gintama, Reborn, and the kinda sorta hit Taizo Mote King Saga? Gintama had a unique dry humour to it, as well as an ability to get serious and dabble in action as need be, a strategy that helped separate it from the shrinking pack of manic random gag manga and elevate itself to success. And Reborn trod a similar path, albeit lacking the same skill with jokes, which in the competitive world of Jump isn't the smartest idea. So it seems altogether possible that the switch to battle was a savvy bit of pattern recognition on Amano's part, focusing more on the action side of things, rising up as a new face whose tournament-esque battles gave it something that made it stand out enough to that teen male audience, where the right battle series can reign supreme. And of course it allowed for more dramatic and heartfelt moments, something that could only tap the vein of the Fujoshi stronger than ever before. It was a clever move that, were it not made, Reborn may well have not become as much of a legend as it is today. Amano's art also took a notable change as the battle storylines continued, opting for a thinner ink line, intending for it to present characters as more solid, something understandable when you're looking for the impact of a bloody fight between pretty boys. And it really comes across in the Varia arc, in a battle between boxing fanatic Ryohei and, I don't know, some crazy looking Varia member? It's been a while, and as any fan of the series knows, it's only worth remembering the Varia leader Zanxus, the long-haired, prickly personalityed manic swordsman Squallow, and the Prince Belphegor, who's some sort of tiara-wearing, eyeless, grinning freak who the fans latched onto. But yeah, this boxing match between Ryohei and Lusuria, I looked it up while I was rambling, really takes advantage of the thin lines, with heavy hits and light shattering in ways that really could not have come across as well using the older art style. And as the series went on, more screen tones appeared, giving everything a very shoujo-esque sheen to it. That amped up the prettiness, and it gave more impact to the multicolored flame attacks that came more and more into play as the series ran through its 10 years later Damon Spade and Vindici arcs, and re-emphasizing the vibrancy that was slightly lost when the lines got thinner. Perhaps that was another intelligent move on Amano's part, actually. To shift the characters 10 years into the future, where you got to see how pretty and powerful they grow up to be, it helped create more fanfiction opportunities than ever before. And it's really hit me that I've actually managed to spend most of this episode talking about how all this relates to Weekly Shonen Jump's relations with fans, and not really assessing the manga on its own merits, and I am kind of rambling and directionless. So let's get back on course a bit and talk about whether Reborn was actually any good. See, the problem, more or less, is that Reborn dabbles in a bit of everything, and that gives an inconsistent product. Those first six-ish volumes of daily life-based comedy are all good and well if you're into comedy manga, but if you want to get a good battle manga, you have to either slog your way through or start with the Rakudo storyline without knowing who any of the firmly established characters are, nor the concept of the series itself. And even if you put aside all that and make your way through, the long-running battle arcs might not work for you. Reborn suffers from a problem that's plagued longer series like Naruto and Bleach, and indeed the previously talked about Dragon Ball, in that working out how to power up your character can be incredibly awkward, although it does tend towards something a bit smarter than just declaring that there's a power level above the previous one. Okay, so you have the initial Dying Will bullet power-up, or the Death Privation bullet in the American translation, that gives someone a temporary power-up when they're down to their underwear, trying to achieve their dying regret, which is good, but it had limited use and wasn't exactly a great visual. And it was replaced in the Rakudo storyline with the Rebuke bullet, which changed the pills and eventually into nothing? It's hard to recall how that went, but that bullet unlocks Suna's new Dying Will, a more serious, determined, fully clothed power-up that allows him to coat his hands in the flame of the Dying Will using some glove accessories. And from there, accessories really became the game of the day, in what could well have been merchandising gold if I'd actually seen any of them as actual products. I think that some of the rings, maybe. You get small boxes that release animal-themed weapons, groovy contact lenses to help Suna analyze his power output, the Von Gola and Mare rings providing the correct type of flame with a power-up and such. Oh, yes, that's a thing. There's 7 different types of flame to go with the 7 Von Gola rings, the 7 Mare rings, and the 7 Arcobaleno pacifiers. Those are the pacifiers that trap Reborn and his other assassin compatriots in their toddler forms. It's all a bit complicated, and I realise I should have actually explained that earlier. So that's a plethora of marketable jewellery, to say the least, isn't it? A wise idea, considering the largely female audience. And some of it surely must have actually been made into product, right? But even with this rather innovative approach to power stages, Reborn is ultimately the victim of its own direction to me, as each battle arc kind of just resembled the last one, with Suna and his gang of allies having to face off against a new selection of pretty people with dark personalities who will overcome against the odds, and inevitably the bad guys will turn out not to be that bad, and will probably appear on the side of good at some point about a year afterwards. It's the damaging formula that curses most battle manga, and were it not for Reborn's characters and art style, it certainly would have fallen long ago instead of becoming the ridiculously important hit that it is. Not that that prevented it from flopping in the US, where Viz only published it up to the end of the Various storyline, whose sales just couldn't sustain it anymore. Whether this was a failure that can be blamed upon piracy, a lack of Western interest, or the polarizing daily life stories that started the series off, is something we could debate till the cows come home. Although if you look at other failures for Viz's Shonen Jump label, like Gintama and Strawberry 100%, which were a comedy series and a rom-com respectively, it does kind of point towards the latter. And if we go with that, it means we don't have to face some uncomfortable truths about the damage of fan translations in Western licensed properties. At least until I eventually talk about it one day. I'm more than a little all over the place this episode, so it's probably best to start wrapping this up. It is a final point worth talking about with this series. It's that unlike Dragon Ball or Yu Yu Hakusho, Reborn has the rare distinction of having what feels like a perfectly natural ending. One that most fans were calling as early as when the final arc began, even though it wasn't actually pointed out to be the final storyline. Without spoiling anything, the arc was a very everything but the kitchen sink affair, involving all the notable characters in a battle arc that promised to wrap up the final unresolved matter of the series, and it did so with aplomb. The story went all out, reached a satisfying conclusion, then we got 3 smaller chapters to give a bit of a mirror to the origins of the series, ending in that very traditional Jump way of, isn't everyone I've met on this journey amazing? A bit of a fizzler rather than an explosive end due to that, but then it meant that the audience got let down lightly. Amano got to do a thoroughly uncontroversial ending that went exactly as it should, which is spectacularly rare, as you'll learn in later episodes, and indeed from the previous two manga I've talked about. So for something as important as the longest-running female-created series, with one of the largest female fan bases in Jump history, well, it's perfect, isn't it? If you want to read Reborn in English, most of what was released is still available from Amazon, and as you'd expect, it's not on the Viz Manga app yet, and considering how abruptly they dropped it, it's probably never going to be. But rather than continue a depressing trend, I'm actually going to encourage you to try the Viz editions. And if you like them, let Viz know. If an audience builds again in America, you might have a legitimate venue to consume the whole series. Because ultimately, that's what we should want for a legal way to consume weekly Shonen Jump series in English. But alas, that's a bit preachy, so I will say no more. Other than, oh my god, look at that, we made it to the end of this godforsaken, never-ending, took forever to even make episode. Breathe! Anyway, thanks for listening again, and remember you can find all show notes and future episodes over at friendshipeffortvictory.wordpress.com and on iTunes, where new episodes come out weekly, except for this one, which is actually coming out the same time as the next episode, the next minisode, which is Sandland by Akira Toriyama, so they're actually both out now. And but other than that, they will be weekly, except for next week as well, where there's going to be a 2012 in brief special episode on Wednesday, and then the episode for, let me just check the schedule, and then the episode for Kinnikuman, which is going to be fun. I like Kinnikuman, yes I do. But past that, they will continue to alternate between these bigger episodes and the minisodes. And you can leave a review on iTunes, it will be appreciated, though to be honest, I'm quite happy just to have listeners who've stuck around with this minor hiatus that trying to make this episode has caused. So yes, next week is the 2012 in brief, where I will go and summarise the best of the new series, the worst of the cancellations, and indeed anything notable that's happened in the year 2012 with Jump, which ended on this previous Monday. And we'll look to the future a bit by talking in no small amount about the three new series, Hungry Joker, Rookie Policeman Kiriko-san, and Shokugeki no Soma, and whether I think they represent any sort of continuing pattern or confidence to have in the year 2013. And past that, of course, Kinnikuman, which will be about wrestling and small little rubber guys. Food that makes you feel like you're being sexually and food that makes you feel like you're being sexually abused by tentacles. It's really hard to record. This is now.